It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Week number 5, just about in the books. What's going on, everybody? Adam Pfeiffer here with the solo recap edition of the Fade the Chalk podcast. Presented, of course, by the FTN Network, FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, FTN Daily, the entire network. Week 5, yeah, like I'm saying, just about in the books here. It's closing on the kickoff Sunday Night Football between the Seahawks and Vikings. And in case anybody missed it last week, I'll be doing a solo pod recapping the week every single Sunday night. Just going through some of the notable tidbits from every game of the week. You know, snaps, targets, injuries, you name it. I'll be breaking it down here on the podcast. And week 5 had a lot. I mean, there was definitely a lot of good. There was a lot of bad. And there was also a lot of really just unfortunate and sad. We'll definitely get to that. But yeah, again, make sure you're checking out the podcast on iTunes. If you could, give it a rate and a review. It takes about 30 seconds. Helps us out a lot. And D-Bro and I really appreciate it. Heading into the upcoming week, D-Bro and I will be on Monday afternoon's podcast going through waivers. Wednesday we'll have our trade podcast. And of course, as always, Friday will be the game-by-game breakdown. But week 6 is still a little bit away. We got to recap what we saw from week number 5. Let's get right to it. We'll start with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans. Houston wins this one. They get their first one of the season, 30-14. This game was definitely a little tilting for me. I was really, really high on James Robinson in this game. I liked the overall stack. And on the Houston side, it was pretty good, right? Deshaun Watson really took advantage of the Jaguars' defense, having so many injuries. Josh Allen, their defensive end, was out for this game. DJ Hayden placed on IR. And then they were also without Miles Jack and rookie cornerback CJ Henderson. So that definitely helped. And Deshaun Watson had, you know, about 360 passing yards and 3 scores. One to Fuller, one to Darren Fells, who I talked up a lot on the DFS podcast. And of course, Akins was ruled out, but Fells gets a touchdown. And Brandon Cooks trolls everybody who used him in week number 4 with a 8 for 161 in the touchdown line on a team-high 12 targets. Definitely good to see if you held on to Brandon Cooks. He's, you know, and it's good to see that the Houston Texans offense produced this well in their first game without Bill O'Brien. But again, understand that the defense was really banged up for the Texans. Sorry, for the Jaguars. David Johnson with Duke Johnson back. Now the second week with Duke back. David Johnson played 47 of the 59 snaps. And Duke Johnson played 16. David Johnson also handled 17 of the 20 running back carries. So he's got that workhorse role. Still had, you know, 2 catches in this game. Duke only had 1. So it's definitely good to see after he played, you know, his snaps went way down back in week 4. Let's talk about Jacksonville, though. Like I said, I'll take the L on James Robinson. I wrote him up. I talked about him as an elite play. Got off to a good start, and then, you know, Jacksonville fell behind, which wasn't a problem in previous weeks, but Chris Thompson played more than normal, more than he had been, which was really frustrating. And then the Jaguars' offense in the red zone was terrible. They ran a trick play where Robinson took the direct snap and then ended up, it looked like he was going to appear to throw the football, then fumbled, and then Chris Thompson was in a lot inside the 5 when they were in hurry-up mode. So he's still handling a ton of carries. Better days are ahead for James Robinson, but I will take the L. I think the process was right because the matchup was so good, but like I said, Jacksonville's offense didn't look great in this game. DJ Chark leaves the game with an ankle injury in the 4th quarter. He wasn't doing much prior to that. We'll have to see if he's, you know, during the week, if he's good to go. If not, I mean, look, we've been telling you to pick up Laviska Shenault for weeks now, so hopefully you already have him. Hopefully you have him on your bench, and if DJ Chark sits, I mean, Laviska had another solid day receiving in this one, 7 for 79. They've gone away from giving him carries a little bit. They did give him one inside, like, the 10, but I think it was called back due to penalty. But yeah, he would be, you know, a top 30 receiver for me pretty easily if Chark was forced to miss time. Keelan Cole scores again in this game, but other than that, nothing much else from this one. So we are good to move on. Let's go to Carolina and Atlanta. The Falcons lose again. their own five. They lose this one 23-16. And apparently Dan Quinn's about to get fired, which, you know, it's about time. Teddy Bridgewater, if you streamed him, if you had to play him, in case you're worried about Josh Allen not playing on Tuesday, he came through again in another great matchup. 27 for 37, 313 yards and a pair of touchdowns. He was good in this game. Got to talk more about Robbie Anderson, though. I mean, you know, the last 2 weeks I talked about how he's really is the number one receiver for this team, and it really continued here. I mean, he had a 27% target share, or he had over a 30% target share in this game. He now has over a 27% target share on the season. He has double-digit targets in 3 of 5 games, and he's reached the 100-yard mark in 3 of 5 games. And in one of the other games, he had 99 yards. So for all intents and purposes, he's had 100 yards in 4 or 5 games. He's been great. He's running the intermediate routes where DJ Moore... Yes, DJ Moore had a 57-yard touchdown this game, but that was off catch and run, which he's great at, so it's great to see. And yes, DJ Moore finally got in the end zone. He had 93 receiving yards and a touchdown in this game. Only 5 targets, but you definitely like to see that. But yeah, make no mistake, like, Rob Anderson is still the number one on this team. Meanwhile, Mike Davis has now scored over 20 fantasy points in each of his last 3 games in place of Christian McCaffrey. He has 33 targets since week 2 when he came in for McCaffrey against Tampa Bay. That's top 3 among all running backs during that span. So that's good to see. Obviously, McCaffrey is getting close to a return. So if you can sell high on Mike Davis, if you don't have McCaffrey on your team, because if you have McCaffrey, you're definitely going to hold on to Mike Davis with the way he's been a top 10 must-start running back since McCaffrey's been out. But, you know, if you were able to, you know, if you lost McCaffrey and you were able to scoop up Mike Davis, yeah, I don't see why you'd want to trade him. Unless you know you can get something huge for him, then go for it. But definitely a window to sell high on Mike Davis if you can. But you don't have to if you have McCaffrey on your team as well. For the Falcons, the passing offense didn't do much. Matt Ryan hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in like 2 straight games now. Calvin Ridley got there, 8 for 136 on 10 targets. Everybody else was bad. Olamide Zaccheaus, I thought he was a trap in tournaments, and it turns out he was a trap regardless. He had 1 catch for 13 yards. Russell Gage had, you know, 2 for 16. The Falcons, their offense couldn't, or their defense couldn't get off the field. And then when their offense was on the field, it was a lot of the running game. I mean, the Panthers continued to be a good matchup for running backs as Todd Gurley had 14 carries for 121 yards and a score. Debro talked about selling Todd Gurley and trading him away on the Trade 4 podcast, and I still think he's 100% right. I mean, if you watch this game, Gurley didn't really do anything too impressive, in my opinion. The holes were massive for Todd Gurley in this game. I mean, both running backs averaged over 6.5 yards a carry, and Brian Hill is still getting 6-7 carries a game. Ito Smith's still getting 3 or 4 carries a game, so I would definitely look to sell high on Todd Gurley after this one. Hayden Hurst, I might have to chalk up an L on Hayden Hurst. I loved him in the offseason, but it just, you know, in games where they're throwing the ball 38 to 40 times, he's still only getting a couple targets. He had 6 today, only caught 2 of them. He's going to have some games because, you know, he's averaging right around 6 targets a game, and, like, if you don't have the elite of the elite at tight end, like, that's enough to warrant consideration. But, you know, I don't think he's going to have the upside I thought he would have had entering the season. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen for Hayden Hurst this year. We'll see if Julio Jones can get back in the lineup next week. You know, the Falcons did the right thing and sat him down for this game, so we will see. Cincinnati at Baltimore. This was all the Ravens in this one. Really nothing going for the Bengals in this game at all. You know, Lamar Jackson has not, like, we're going to start talking about how Lamar Jackson has not been great for fantasy this year. He's been good, but I mean, 180 yards and 2 touchdowns, and you, like, if you just saw that, you would say, oh, they won 27-3. He probably threw the ball like 22 times. Like, he threw the ball 37 times in this game. Just was not that efficient. Completed just 19 of those passes. He's missing some throws. He only averaged 4.9 yards per attempt. Like, Lamar Jackson is starting to concern me a little bit, because look, he had 3 rushing yards in this game. You know, is he going to have 3 rushing? No, of course not. But, like, you're definitely taking Mahomes over the rest of the season. I think you can honestly make the argument for Josh Allen. Like, and it's not just this week. Like, he's been just better all year. I want to see it a little bit better with Lamar Jackson. I'm a little concerned. Let's put it that way. The ongoing backfield. Gus Edwards leads the way with 25 snaps. Mark Ingram plays 20. J.K. Dobbins plays 17. And look, this is going to be the case whenever Baltimore wins by a decent amount. It's going to be Gus Edwards, you know, grinding down the clock at the end of games because they're not going to give it to Mark Ingram in that role, and they prefer, you know, giving J.K. Dobbins the passing down work. So, yeah, just unless somebody gets hurt or misses time or something, I don't feel great about playing any of these guys at all. Hollywood Brown, though, finally gets in the end zone. He had been tackled inside the five-yard line a handful of times this year, had seen some end zone targets, but just couldn't get in the box, and he does. He has 6 for 77 and a touchdown this game, 10 targets. And Marquise Brown, like, you look at his raw target totals, and you're like, okay, Marquise Brown's not consistently getting, you know, Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas, Adam Thielen, you know, the, like, elite, massive target numbers, right? But if you look at it in the constraints of the offense, where they're not throwing the ball 35 times a game most nights, you look at his target shares. Hollywood Brown has at least 6 targets in every game this year. He had 10 more today. He's got a 27% target share on the season, and these are his target shares by week. 27.7, 24, 26, 22.2, and 34.7. Those are awesome target numbers for Marquise Brown, who's an incredibly talented player. Six targets for Marquise Brown doesn't sound incredible, but when a lot of these games are throwing the ball 25 times, it is. So he's looked really good to me this year. I think Hollywood Brown is sneaking into that, you know, wide receiver 2 status where he's kind of drafted as a wide receiver 3. And oh, look, it's a day that ends in Y. Mark Andrews scores again, 9 targets for him. You know, this is their offense. You know, they're running the ball with the 3 running backs. They're throwing to Marquise. They're giving Devin Duvernay a couple handoffs a game now. And then they're giving, you know, they're targeting Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. It's pretty much as easy as that. For the Bengals, really not much here. AJ Green left with a hamstring injury, didn't return. He's dust. You know, you should have dropped him by now. T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd both with 4 catches. Higgins goes for 62. Boyd goes for 42. I thought it was interesting that even in a game they were getting destroyed, Joe Mixon, nobody expected a huge game from Joe Mixon in this spot. He had 24 carries for 59 yards. He also had a career-high 8 targets. And we caught 6 passes. Giovanni Bernard only caught 1 pass on 2 targets. It's now the second week in a row where he's caught 6 passes. That's 12 catches in the last 2 games for Joe Mixon because hashtag I went to school and I can do math. That is encouraging because that was the only downfall for Joe Mixon is Giovanni Bernard's playing on 3rd downs and 2-minute drills and it's taking away from Mixon's upside. But he's now catching passes and that's huge for him. So that's it from the Bengals, though. You know, not a very productive game from them by any means at all. Let's go to Kansas City, where the Vegas Raiders, with an impressive win over the Chiefs. It was their first win in Kansas City since 2012, I think. Derek Carr, I mean, look, first game with Henry Ruggs back, they stretched the field. I think they attempted 6 passes of 20 yards or more down the field. That number was, like, barely at 10. Prior to this game for the season. So Henry Ruggs giving them that dynamic was massive. Ruggs had a 72-yard touchdown catch and run. He had 118 yards and that touchdown on the day. Derek Carr had 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. Derek Carr has been quietly pretty good for fantasy. You know, he had over 300 yards against Buffalo last week. And you think about it, I mean, look at all the pieces they added. You know, Brian Edwards hasn't even played, really. Henry Ruggs is finally back. Darren Waller is an elite tight end. They have great running backs in terms of what they can all do individually. Hunter Renfrow is a viable slot receiver. Nelson Aguilar is a field stretcher. Like, Derek Carr, man, we might need to be giving Derek Carr some more love in fantasy. Speaking of Josh Jacobs, I loved him in this game, and it looked like he was off to a terrible start, but he ends up going for 77 yards and a pair of touchdowns on 23 carries. The Raiders were giving Jalen Richard and Devontae Booker a handful of work in this game. But Jacobs got the touches where it mattered inside the 5. So, and he's also not he didn't catch a ton of passes, but he's still running more routes, about 6 more per game than he did last year, which is really, really big for him. So I like what I'm seeing from Josh Jacobs. You're starting him every week. Looks to be a surefire top 10 running back. He still mostly dominated the snaps. He played 45, Booker played 15, and Jalen Richard played 14 out of 70. Sammy Watkins suffered a hamstring injury in this game. He scored a touchdown relatively early, then didn't return. This could be important because we started to see Mecole Hardman get more and more work as the weeks went on. And if Watkins were to miss time, Hardman would be pretty much an every down player. And we've seen the upside. We see them give him carries and reverses and those quick jet sweeps and touch passes. So definitely keep an eye on that. But I'm going to put my notes down and I'm going to rant about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And it has nothing to do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire at all. Fantastic player. Love the fit with the offense. He had a touchdown called back in this game it was a receiving touchdown. It was wide open. Travis Kelce got called for an illegal pick play, offensive pass interference, whatever. I'm starting to wonder if after week one, when Clyde had, the really good game against Houston, but they gave him like 7 or 8 carries from inside the 5 and he couldn't score or convert any of them. Remember that? I wonder if Kansas City is not viewing him as a productive back in that role, because every time they get inside the 5-yard line, they run. It happened like 3 times in this game, and on one of them, Mahomes ended up scoring. But they're running these college style options with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Mahomes is just keeping it. And if he does pitch it, it's too late, and it goes for a yard or no yards. They're not giving him straight up carries up the gut inside the 5-yard line right now. And that's concerning me a little bit. It's more frustrating me because I know he's capable of producing in that role, but they've just gone away from it. They've been really pass heavy and close, and it's not like they're just putting in Darrell Williams and giving him the ball. They're just not running the ball between the tackles when they get in there. So I think that's a little bit of a concern with Clyde right now, and it's hurting his upside. He only had 10 carries in this game. Obviously, the Chiefs, in a what is like a fever dream, we're chasing points in this game in the second half. He had 3 catches for 40 yards. He had 8 targets, but like 3 catches on 8 targets is not great for Clyde Edwards-Helaire either. I still think he's a low end running back one, and I would still trade for him, like I mentioned on the last podcast. But he doesn't seem to be this surefire top 5 running back that he was anointed after the week 1 game, and when he was going arguably like top 5 or 6 in drafts. That's just tilting, honestly. Tyreek Hill, really good at football. He had 3 for 78 in the air, had a long touchdown called back to start the game. He has a rushing touchdown. Travis Kelce, 8 for 108 in a touchdown. He's still the number 1 tight end in fantasy. Him and Kittle will probably go back and forth the rest of the season. But yeah, I wanted to get that out because that was just annoying. Frustrating as hell to watch. Somebody that had a ton of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in DFS. Just super tilting watching that Chiefs game. Pittsburgh 38, Philadelphia 29. Wild game here. And we had the battle of the receiving stat lines to come out of nowhere. Chase Claypool is going to dominate the storylines and the headlines in fantasy today. 7 catches, 110 yards, and 4 touchdowns. One of those touchdowns was on the rushing end, so we had 3 receiving touchdowns on 11 targets, a 32% target share. He benefited from Deontay Johnson leaving relatively early with a back injury. He did not return. We'll have to keep an eye on that, but he's got to be the top waiver guy regardless of Deontay Johnson's status. Because if you think about it and look back to the last time Pittsburgh played in Week 3, he had already leapfrogged James Washington as the wide receiver 3 on the depth chart. So Pittsburgh runs a lot of 3 wide. They throw the ball good a bit. So to me, he was already somebody that needed to be at least monitored. And now, I mean, it's not even as if they were just fluke plays. They were drawing stuff up for him. He had 3 carries in this game. He's a 6'4 guy with 4'4 speed at 238 pounds. I mean, that's impressive stuff. I'm starting to worry about Juju a little bit here. Juju's not being targeted like the guy in this offense, and he hasn't really had to by Big Ben because Chase Claypool is emerging every week. Remember, he had that 85 or so yard touchdown pass a couple weeks ago. Deontay Johnson, when healthy, has been the quote unquote alpha, the top target getter, and he'll be back soon, you would think. And then Eric Ebron's been getting more targets and running more routes over the last couple weeks. So, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about Juju. I don't think he's a wide receiver one. I think he's, you know, a middling two. But, yeah, like this Claypool emergence definitely isn't good for Juju. James Conner has a short touchdown this game, had 15 carries. Benny Snell had 7 carries, but consider that 5 of them came in the fourth quarter of this game, and 3 of them came on the final drive as Pittsburgh was, you know, kind of salting this game away, so to speak. So it's a little annoying watching Pittsburgh give Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland carries inside the 5 instead of him, but Connor's still a solid RB2, low-end 1, given the fact that he's on the field and he has a pulse and he's, you know, still getting the majority of the carries. For Philadelphia, Travis Fulgham, hello, scored the game-winning touchdown last week, or was that Hightower? One of the two. Anyway, Travis Fulgham, 10 catches, 152 yards, and a touchdown on 13 targets. They were going to him all game against Pittsburgh. And look, with a lot of these random receivers that have these huge games, we can throw a little bit of them, you know, to the side and say, okay, that's not really going to stick. But then there's the situation with the Eagles where we know Alshon Jeffrey is still questionable at best to come back next week. DeSean Jackson is always banged up. Zach Ertz hasn't been a thing this year. Zach Ertz over his last two games has 5 catches for 14 yards. I mean, you're obviously picking up Chase Claypool over Fulgham if you're choosing between the two, but, you know, Fulgham's definitely somebody that needs to be considered. He's not going to have a game like this again, probably, but the fact that they went right back to him over and over again is pretty telling. Really impressive stuff from Fulgham. Miles Sanders, the process was right. I mean, the Steelers have the best run defense in the NFL. On 3rd and 9 at the end of the first quarter, Sanders rips off a 74-yard touchdown run. He also had like a 2-yard touchdown later on in the game. But outside of that 74-yard touchdown run, he averaged less than a yard per carry. So if you stuck with Miles Sanders in your lineup, good for you. But the Steelers' run defense, minus that awful play, is still really, really good. Yeah. Let's move on to the Cardinals and Jets. Arizona wins this one 30-10. Kenyon Drake did it. He scored a touchdown. But the snaps continue to go to Chase Edmonds more and more each week. Drake played 50 of the 75 snaps on offense. Edmonds played 34 and scored a touchdown. Look, Drake didn't run well again, 18 for 60 yards, but scored his first touchdown since back in week one. Like, Edmonds is just playing better. Drake still isn't catching passes. And, like, he didn't run a route in week four. I don't have the route data up yet for this week, but he had 1 catch for 2 yards on 1 target. So, yeah, he didn't run a lot of routes again. You know, if you can sell high on Kenyon Drake, I would look to do it. It just really seems like it's going to be a frustrating week in and week out, especially with Kyler Murray stealing carries at the inside the 5-yard line. So, yeah, I still leave this game not thrilled with Kenyon Drake if he's on my team. DeAndre Hopkins just continues to smash, 6 for 131 and a touchdown. Kyler Murray, another good fantasy game. He has a rushing touchdown and 380 yards and a passing touchdown. But he has not passed the ball really well as I thought this year. Just, you know, that his rushing has been huge for him because he has not been throwing the ball well. Still a lot of time to change that. You're starting him every week. And Christian Kirk. Debro and I were really interested in Christian Kirk and DFS for this game, and he has a nice one, 5 for 78 on 7 targets. So as a cheap play, Christian Kirk did well. Le'Veon Bell came back for the first time since, week one? Ends up leading the team in snaps with 46. It was only Bell and Frank Gore. Bell played 46 snaps on offense, Gore played 23. Bell got 13 carries for 60 yards, Gore had 9, so probably will continue to see that type of split, you know, still favoring Bell the rest of the way. Only 1 catch for 7 yards wasn't great either. He's a flex, low end running back 2 at best going forward. And Jamison Crowder, man, really good to see him produce with Joe Flacco under center. 8 for 116 in the touchdown. He's a good player, man. Just he has 10 of the 31 targets in this game. Jeff Smith, who was a popular punt in DFS, got the targets with 11. He caught 3 of them, so that's definitely not great. You don't want to be starting Jets on a weekly basis outside of maybe Jamison Crowder in PPR leagues. That is about it for me. Rams at the Washington football team. This game was cool. I mean, it wasn't great for fantasy. Obviously, the Rams kind of took care of business in this one, winning by a score of 30-10. But Kyle Allen, who got the start, left this game after taking a shot on the sidelines. So we got to see Alex Smith for the first time in 2 years. And no, he didn't play well or anything, but it was just awesome to see. It was great for him, great for his family and everything. And then, Kyle Allen was actually medically cleared to return, but they stuck with Alex Smith. I don't think Ron Rivera and the Washington football team should continue to play Alex Smith. It's just they're not getting anything down the field with Alex Smith, which, isn't really a shock if you've watched Alex Smith over the course of his career. But Washington was kind of a bust in this game. I really liked Antonio Gibson in DFS at 5K. The volume was there. Again, he got 16 touches, but nothing really impressive. But it's good to see him dominate the carries again. I mean, Peyton Barber didn't register a carry in this game. McKissick had one carry, and Gibson had the remaining 11 of the backfield. So that was good to see. Bad game from McLaurin, but wasn't a great matchup. The quarterback situation got, really thrown off. I'm still feeling good about Terry McLaurin the rest of the way. For the Rams, Robert Woods continues to be the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. He has 4 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown that went 56 yards. Then you have the Rams backfield. I mean, Cam Akers returned, first game back from the rib injury against the Eagles in week 2. We saw Daryl Henderson not only start, but lead the team in snaps with 29, score 2 touchdowns, get the short yardage work. And then after this game, Cam Akers got 13 snaps in this game. He ended up finishing with, I think, 9 carries, but they all came at the end of this game when it was out of reach and they just were running the clock down. And then Sean McVay comes out after the game and says, yeah, he's going to get a bigger workload in week six. It's like, play Henderson at a flex if you wish, but I'm just not in on any of these guys. Jared Goff, another nice fantasy game from him. 2 passing touchdowns, 309 yards, and a rushing touchdown. He's played pretty well this year with the running game setting up play action. It's been nice to see. We continue on as we go to... what game haven't we done yet? Let's see. Let's go to the... let's go to Cleveland and the Colts. Browns win 32-23. Kareem Hunt gets the start for Nick Chubb and kind of dominates the workload. He had 20 carries in this game. Dearness Johnson had 8. And I think 3 or 4 of them came as they were running the clock down in the 2-minute drill. Hunt was getting stretched and worked on the sideline. It might have been a cramp. Didn't seem to be anything serious. He had a receiving touchdown this game on 3 catches as well. The Colts run defense has been among the best in the league, so not too upsetting or surprising to see him have a low yards per carry. We know what we're going to get from Kareem Hunt. He's going to be a really strong running back one the rest of the way, despite having to face Pittsburgh next week. Baker Mayfield was off to a great start in this game and then collapsed in the second half. Threw a couple picks. Both these defensive lines got a fair amount of pressure in this game. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry had solid games. They both had 9 targets, which was nice to see. Austin Hooper had 10 targets as well. His routes have been climbing a little bit. So Hooper, 10 targets, maybe something if he's been dropped to keep an eye on going forward. For the Colts, Phillip Rivers is not good at all. They really need to take a hard look at their quarterback room and consider playing Jacoby Brissett. I mean, Rivers threw a disgustingly terrible pick 6. And then he takes a safety where he had a clean pocket to step up into and threw it off his back foot out of bounds and got called for intentional grounding in the end zone. It was bad. He was really bad in this game. Jonathan Taylor produced when he got the ball, 12 carries for 57 yards and a score. The problem is they were behind and they got in a lot of 2-minute drills, and Naheem Hines was on the field a lot more than you'd like. But at least it was good to see Jonathan Taylor dominate the running back carries. Wilkins only had one carry, where he had, I think, 9, and he had 10 total touches last week. So, yeah, that was definitely annoying. You would like to see the Colts just give Jonathan Taylor that workload, or anywhere close to the workload they gave him back in week 2 against the Vikings, right? But, like, they just haven't wanted to do that. And it's a little bit annoying, because he's just, on a per carry basis, has been so much better than Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins. He's still a low end RB1 for me. The Colts are going to be in some games where they're not chasing points, you would hope, because their defense is playing so well. But yeah, like the receiving game, he had 6 catches in that opening game. Like that's fallen off a cliff. He only had 2 catches in this game. Nyheim Hines is definitely capping his upside a bit. Zach Pascal, bust. Debro and I loved him. Rivers was just awful in this game, man. They did make it. I was watching this game, and the targets obviously tell the story as well, but they did make it a concerned effort to get T.Y. Hilton involved. He had 10 targets, 6 for 69. I mean, he's like a low-end 3 at best going forward, but this team just can't stretch the field right now. Rivers is bad. They need to just play to their strengths right now, which is giving Jonathan Taylor 20 carries a game. Do I have Jonathan Taylor in a lot of leagues? You tell me. I do. Other than that, though, nothing much from this game. Mo Alie-Cox, 1 target, not running routes again, and now Trey Burton is playing over him, who had 6 targets today. So Mo Alie-Cox, if you were depending on him, he is somebody that you can pretty safely get away from. How about this game? Maybe the surprise of the week. Miami Dolphins didn't just beat the San Francisco 49ers. They demolished them by a score of 43-17. Garoppolo gets ruled in for this game, as well as Raheem Mostert. Garoppolo was awful. Took a bunch of sacks, got pressured, couldn't get out of the pocket, and threw 2 awful picks. He gets benched in the second half, and they said it was to, quote, protect him. Bullshit. Just, sorry, but he got pulled because he was terrible. You can admit it. CJ Beathard comes in, doesn't really do much better. Really nothing from this team other than the backfield. First game back, Mostert looked good. 11 carries for 90 yards in this game. Adds 3 catches for 29 yards. So you like the 14 touches. Jerick McKinnon was not a thing. After how good he's played, I thought we might have seen a split in this backfield, especially it being Mostert's first game back. So that's a good sign if Mostert's on your team. We'll see, you know, how the weeks go on. If Tevin Coleman gets back, it'll probably be back to a 2-man situation, but not what you wanted to see. I know they're behind. You know, you're not going to play Jerick McKinnon much if this game is out of reach, which is why Jeff Wilson had 4 carries compared to McKinnon's 1. But yeah, again, like not the greatest sign for Jerick McKinnon. For Miami, Jordan Howard was a healthy scratch in this game. Miles Gaskin had 16 carries and a touchdown. Breida had 9 carries. Gaskin also had 55 catches for 21 total touches. So yeah, good to see there from Miles Gaskin. He's a solid flex going forward. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked great in this game. They threw the ball all over every single part of the field against the Niners in this game, who were really banged up at corner. They're obviously without Richard Sherman, who's on IR, and then Quan Williams and Emmanuel Mosley are banged up. I think Akello Witherspoon got ruled out as well. Like, they're just so shorthanded in their secondary. And Ryan Fitzpatrick took advantage of it, and we might see other offenses do the same. Devontae Parker scores. Preston Williams had a nice game, 4 for 106 and a touchdown. And a nice bounce back for Mike Gesicki, 5 for 91. He had a 70-yard catch and run where I thought he was going to score, but he just couldn't get in the end zone. So, yeah, we'll see about the Niners got to get healthy right now. I mean, they're 2-3. We obviously have seen them just suffer injury after injury after injury. But they got to get healthy because the Seahawks look incredible right now. The Cardinals are still, you know, a force in that division, I think. They just got to get healthy. It's as simple as that. Last game, because we obviously had fewer games. We had 2 teams on bye. We had the Monday night game, the Tuesday night game. Dallas 37, the Giants 34, and we got to start with the heartbreaking stuff. Dak Prescott, quarterback draw, got, you know, just a brutal, nasty ankle injury. Think he's undergoing surgery tonight. He's obviously done for the year. And, you know, you see stuff like that. And, like, it's so easy for guys like us, guys and girls like us, who are so heavily invested in the fantasy sports stuff and the stats and the production side of the game, where you see the injuries and it's just like, it just kind of resets your brain into thinking, like, you know, this is their job, man. Like, they put their bodies on the line for their livelihood, for their families. And, like, Dak Prescott enjoying a career year, you know, the leader of this team, having a monster season, just incredible guy, especially what he does with the mental health stuff, which really is important to me in particular. To see him in tears, getting carted off the field, it's a gut punch. It's the best way I can describe it. And, you know, he'll be back. He'll be back for sure. And, yeah, it just sucks. But, obviously the game's got to be played the rest of the way. So Andy Dalton came in and filled in, you know, pretty fine. And we know, like, that was one of the best under the radar signings in the offseason, in my opinion, getting Andy Dalton. And, you know, he's going to start the rest of the season. The question is he going to be able to sustain two or three fantasy receivers? I still think he'll be good enough, especially if that defense continues to struggle, to make Lamb a solid two and Cooper a low-end one. I know Cooper had a bad game in this one, but, you know, they just took what the defense gave them. And with James Bradbury against Amari Cooper, Bradbury's been really good so far this year. They just went to CeeDee Lamb all game long. So, you know, CeeDee Lamb, 8 for 124 on 11 targets. He's a superstar. He's an absolute superstar. CeeDee Lamb, if you have him on your team, he's a must-start player every week going forward. And Michael Gallup didn't do much until the last drive, where Dalton gave him two biggest plays of the game, like a 15-yard out route where he catches on the sideline, and like a 38-yard catch down the sideline to set up the game-winning field goal. Perhaps Andy Dalton might be somebody that gets Michael Gallup a little more consistency. But it's just going to be hard for him to get a lot of targets each week when CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are on this team. Zeke, 19 carries for 91 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's good, and maybe Dallas, you know, tries to take a little bit off Andy Dalton and that defense and just kind of feed Zeke and Tony Pollard in the run game going forward. But, again, like, it's just no other way to say it, man. It sucks to see that happen to anybody. But especially Dak, for, you know, the start he's been on and everything he's done off the field. It's just, you hate to see it. And prayers are up for him, and I hope I know he's going to come back. For the Giants, Darius Slayton did what wide receivers do against the Cowboys and had 100 yards. I think that's now the fifth or sixth receiver to reach the 100-yard mark against the Cowboys. 8 for 129 on 11 targets. And he had a touchdown called back on a terrible offensive pass interference call. He's a good player, really good player. Evan Engram, 1 catch for 16 yards. Thankfully, he scored a rushing touchdown. Not what we expected from Evan Engram in this game. We just haven't seen a huge game from him yet. I still think it's coming. They're just not using him to stretch the field very much, which is a little bit frustrating. Devontae Freeman looked kind of good for the second straight week. He has 60 yards and a touchdown on 17 carries. Adds 2 catches for 27 yards. So now 19 touches for Freeman. Wayne Gallman took, 7 touches. So Devontae Freeman, man, he is now in the flex consideration after back-to-back weeks where he's dominated this backfield for the most part. Deion Lewis isn't a thing at all. They're not even giving him carries. He's only playing on third downs, and that's, you know, every other third down or so. So he's not a thing. So yeah, Devontae Freeman, if you picked him up after and in that first week, he didn't get a lot of work. He obviously wasn't going to get a lot of work, and they brought him in, you know, in the middle of the week. And it's a short week, and he had to come and play on Sunday. So now, more familiar with the offense, he's getting, you know, 16 to 20 touches a game. And at this point of the season, there aren't a lot of guys doing that consistently. So, you know, Devontae Freeman is truly a, you know, solid flex going forward. Moving on from this game, though. Anything else? Golden Tate, nothing much here. I mentioned Devonta Freeman. I mentioned Darius Slayton. And, yeah, just Dak Prescott, obviously, the big storyline. Really, really, really bummed me out. And bummed a lot of the, you know, the world out, honestly. But thoughts are with him. And he's a rock star, so he'll be back. But that is it for me. We got Monday Night Football tomorrow between the Chargers and Saints. Sunday Night Football on right now as we speak between the Vikings and the Seahawks. Dalvin Cook off to a good start with a touchdown. And then we'll see, but apparently Tuesday they're still expecting the Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans. So hopefully we get some more good news on that front, and should be a nice little start to the week, because we get back-to-back football action with Monday and Tuesday. So appreciate everybody listening as always. Like I said, Fade the Chalk on iTunes. Give us a rating and a review. Giving away that Kenny Galladay jersey, or signed helmet, I should say. Signed mini helmet. As soon as we hit 100 reviews, we're pushing 90 right now. So we're literally right there. And we'll be giving that bad boy away to one lucky listener. D-Bro and I will be back on Monday afternoon for the Waiver Wire podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in as always. We'll see you guys on Monday. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.